This, we got to have a great week here trying to get ready for this team. And a short period of time is tough. You know, you look at their offense, and 60% of the time this year it's ended up in a touchdown on their drives, 60% of the time. It's like fourth in the country. They're very efficient. They're very good. They're very got talent. I think they're 11th in the country in total defense. So, you know, again, a really good football team, a really good football team. So, got our work cut out.
Well, that was Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech's head coach, talking about the game this Thursday. He has a lot of very good things to say about Georgia Tech and acknowledges that we'll be a tough opponent. A lot of coach speak, but that's kind of to be expected by a longtime coach like Beamer is.
He's been around.
Yeah, he's been around. If you haven't listened to us before, we are the 4th and Short podcast at 4thandshort.com. My name is Will Patton. I'm joined by
Andrew Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to start this weekend by talking about what Virginia Tech is going to need, Andrew, to beat Georgia Tech this weekend. And it starts at the top. They got to use their heads to win that game.
I think you're missing the uniforms right there, Will.
Oh, well, to use their heads, they're going to have to protect their heads.
With
helmets. And
they're not using the old leather helmets tonight, or Thursday night.
No. They, with an interesting a twist, they have gone past conventional wisdom and moved away from the plastic helmets that, you know, 99%.
Everybody uses, right.
Yeah. People in Afghanistan, they don't wear helmets when they play football. But they're not plastic ones anyway. But they are going to go with brick or stone helmets. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Well, I'm not sure. I was looking at it, and first I thought it was a brick helmet. But then I looked at it more closely and noticed that it actually was just a sticker. And you could tell because in the center of the helmet, the bricks don't quite line up.
Oh, well, I thought that was just poor masonry work.
No, I think it's a sticker that they just kind of, you know, printed off on their 3D printer and just kind of stuck it on there, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. Georgia Tech's doing the throwback uniforms.
Ah, yes.
So I guess
they're throwing
Virginia Tech
it way back.
Way back.
So that really leads into the first topic that we want to talk about today, and it's everybody's favorite topic. We love talking about this, and I can't believe that we've made it to week 5 and we haven't brought up uniforms.
It's interesting, but you know, I don't know that you obviously didn't play the whole clip from Frank Beamer, his whole press conference, but later on he did talk about that Logan Thomas wasn't going to be starting because he did have Fred Flintstone is now going to be the quarterback at Virginia Tech, and Barney Rubble is, I think he's halfback. Maybe he might be a, you know, kind of a slot receiver. He's a little guy.
Yeah, he's a little short, you know, short, quick guy. So, but yeah, so if you haven't heard, you really need to check this out. Virginia Tech unveiled what helmets they're going to be wearing for the game against Georgia Tech. And honestly, like, they are ridiculous, and I don't see how anybody could say that these are good-looking helmets. I mean, last year,
Recruits love them,
apparently,
man.
But, you know, last year, Georgia Tech wore the Beehive helmets, and they had mixed reactions, but these helmets do not look good at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a mixed reaction.
I think anybody who says they look cool is just in complete and total denial.
Bedrock is where they are.
Exactly. On the other side, Georgia Tech is going to be wearing throwback uniforms, kind of the 60s era uniforms.
Classic Dodd era.
Yeah, and you know, in 2006, we wore uniforms kind of like this, but they were on the opposite spectrum. They were the gold tops, white bottoms. I think this time around, we're going to be doing white tops, gold bottoms.
Right.
So I think that they look pretty good, and that comes into my first question. Because this seems to be something that comes up a lot on the different forums. People talk about it on SportsCenter. Articles are written about this stuff. But Do you, Andrew, as a fan of college football, and I would say that you're a fan.
Right.
Do you care about the uniforms that the team wears?
Not really. I don't care. I mean, as long as you are standing there lining up by the football and snap the ball, I don't care what you're wearing. You know, as long as I can. My only qualm is, if you remember a couple of years ago, Georgia Tech had some uniforms and you couldn't really read the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my only thing. If you can read the numbers, you know, that's my big issue. I understand that some of these schools want to do these new hip uniforms. I like the traditional. It makes it feel like, hey, we're a program with a storied history. We have a lot of, you know, a lot of past. And I feel like these programs that don't do that don't have a lot of past. So for me, I'm a history guy. So I like looking at those kinds of things. So in that aspect, I guess I like the old uniforms. But if you feel the need to put some new uniform on that has the state of Georgia flag on it, you know, okay. I don't care.
You know, I'm kind of on both ends of the spectrum. I do appreciate a good looking uniform. I mean, I don't want to see Georgia Tech run out there in something that makes them look ridiculous, something that's going to embarrass them.
Well, I mean, putting the state of Georgia flag would be an embarrassment considering the amount of support we get from the state of Georgia.
That is very true. That's a story for a different day.
Right.
But
sounds like our rivalry podcast is getting longer and longer.
Yeah. Just get ready, folks. That one's going to be a 4-hour podcast.
Yeah, you better get the milk duds and popcorn ready, because
you're going to need a couple of rounds of those milk duds.
Yeah, take your bathroom break early.
Yep, exactly. But anyway, you know, I in particular, I don't really care, but I feel like some people really, really do. I mean,
right.
Who is it? Is it, do the players care? Is there, like, a certain aspect of the fans that care? Do we do this for recruits? Do they care? Like, what is the hype around having a unique and different uniform, you know, at all times?
You know, I don't know. Here's the thing. If I'm a recruit and I go to a college campus and I'm looking at the school and I'm looking at the dorms and I'm listening to the coaches tell me all this stuff, you know, what I'm going to be playing, you know, how all this stuff is going to affect me, I don't see how me then looking at a uniform and saying, gosh, that's a uniform I want to wear, is going to affect my decision that much.
You wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't.
But apparently it's something that people always bring up. It's like, oh, it's great for recruiting. It's great for recruiting.
But does anybody have any numbers that actually back that up, or it's just people saying it's got, you know, that's why we do it, it's for recruits?
Yeah, I guess I really do want to hear that conversation where someone was like, you know what? Georgia Tech, they got the academic program I want. I'm gonna be able to play the position that I wanna play. They got a, you know, not a humongous fan base, but they got a good fan base and
uniforms.
You know, but their uniforms, and I could go play at, you know, Arkansas State, and man, those uniforms, they're slick. I'm going to go play there.
So. Yeah, you never hear that, and I think there's a reason for that.
Yeah. So, I guess I know the answer to this, but do you prefer, like, a traditional look, or do you like what, like, Oregon does, or what Maryland does, and how they present themselves on the field?
I mean, at the end of the day, if you're Maryland and you're putting on this cool uniform and you lose, it doesn't matter. You still lost.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, same thing with Oregon. You put on these cool uniforms and you win. Okay, you won. What are people talking about? People are talking about that you won the game, and then the uniform is kind of just secondary, and I think that's how it should be. But, I mean, then again, if you want to change it up, I think it's good for, you know, occasionally to have something different. I mean, it's fun. It'd be fun for the players, for sure.
Kind of reminds me of a couple of years ago when Georgia started off the season playing Boise State, and they wore those ridiculous Power Ranger uniforms. Do you remember those?
I vaguely remember it. I don't know. Those.
Well, they got beat by Boise State, and that was a talking point, is that they dressed up and they looked ridiculous losing that game.
I don't know. Well, I remember they wore the black helmets, and that was a big deal because they paid a lot of money for them, and then they never were going to use them again. That's the only reason I remember those.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But anyway, Georgia Tech is going to be have the traditional look on Thursday. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
That said, Georgia Tech is wearing these uniforms because Georgia Tech has a field that has a birthday. And Grant Field is turning 100 years old. It is
Get out
the
cake.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be the oldest, I guess, is it oldest field on campus field? Or what is it?
It's the oldest stadium in Division I football.
Okay. Division I, so I guess that there are some in the other divisions that might be older.
You know, it's possible, but I do know that that's what they always say, is oldest stadium in Division I football. So it's possible that, you know, Division III has something from 1850 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the oldest, so it's been around. And you know, the thing I like about our stadium, it has a lot of character. You know, it really does.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's something that I really like about the state. I mean, it's gone through so many changes over the 100-year history of it. I mean, just reading about the field itself is really, really interesting. And going back and looking at old pictures of what the stadium used to look like, you know, it was – if you go back and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but there's the book Jackrabbit about Clint Castleberry. It talks a lot about the early days of Georgia Tech football, and it talks about Grant Field and how the field was acquired and what the stands used to look like and whatnot. And really, back then in Atlanta, Georgia Tech was the thing to do on Saturdays. Like, there was no Falcons. There were no Braves. There were no other big schools. This was it. Going to a Georgia Tech game was something that was a very, very big deal. And the field was used for so many other things as well. High school football games were played there. Like, the big high school football games were played there. We had presidents that have spoken at this field. There's a lot of really neat things that have happened at Grant Field over the 100-year history of it. That it's something that Georgia Tech should be very, very proud of. And the way that the field looks, like you said, it has a lot of character to it. The stands, I mean, the seats that you're sitting in, you know, there's nowhere that you can look in the stadium and say, this was built at the same time as this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, on the west stands, they've been there for quite a while, but underneath those are some old stands that are still there, actually.
Right.
That are just kind of buried underneath the new west stands. The upper deck of the west stands was added at a later time. The north stands and the upper deck, the extension that was built in 2004 looks completely different from the stands that are directly across the way. I mean, it's
right.
So
funny. And I remember
funny.
Growing up when I was a little kid, I mean, it was three separate areas. All three of those weren't connected at all.
So oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can see just the differences. And you know, my dad will tell you about when it used to be looked like a horseshoe when on
yep.
the south end zone was fully connected, and they tore down those seats. And you know, so it's just kind of a cool thing. If you were to pull the stadium out and just sit in an open field, it would be very perplexing because it's built around all these buildings, and so it would look very funny because you're like, well, why is there just an open space here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the field itself is not exactly in the same place that it was. I think it was shifted like 10 yards. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 10 yards to the north at some point.
I think that's true.
Because yeah. We did have the horseshoe, and we got rid of the horseshoe. We got rid of the top end of the horseshoe at some point and put in the stands that are now the north stands. Let's see. Am I right on that?
No, they took out the south end zone.
That's right. They took out the south.
And they leveled it, and they built the building back there. Yeah. And so for a long time, there were no stands on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it, and they put those seats there.
That's right. So the stadium, it has a ton of character, and it's one of those things where, especially people from another school in the state will give us a hard time about our stadium, but I would take a 55,000 seat Bobby Dodd over Sanford Stadium any day of the week. It just has so much more character. It looks like, you know, it's like a hodgepodge of a stadium. It's which kind of personifies what, you know, the Ramblin' Wreck, you know.
Right.
Kind of it's a wreck. just like the wreck itself. It is a wreck of a stadium, which is something that I think has a very direct correlation to a Georgia Tech identity, which
right.
One of the reasons I like the field so much.
It is. It's kind of like you know, Wrigley Field is to baseball in some respects, you know.
Yep.
It's just something, and there are a lot of really cool stadiums. I think the ACC has some really interesting stories with our stadiums that we have. You know, at Duke, Wallace Wade, it hosted the Rose Bowl. You know, that's a really cool thing that
did.
And you know, if you go up to Wake Forest, that's a cool stadium. It's pretty small, but it's, you know, it's got some interesting things. Both Virginia and Virginia Tech stadiums. Lane Stadium is where Virginia Tech plays. I mean, it's a cool stadium, like the way it's built. So, I mean, the ACC has some really, really cool stadiums that I don't think get the credit for what they are, because a lot of the SEC schools' stadiums are overshadowed. But
yeah,
I mean,
Clemson and Virginia Tech get a lot of credit for their stadiums. A lot of just because of the volume that they can produce in those stadiums. And
right.
But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of really, really neat stadiums in the ACC, and I would put, you know, there's some bias in there, but I would put Georgia Tech's right at the top. I would put Grant Field at the top of, in terms of character and tradition. Just so much things have happened there.
Right.
I mean, think, you know, the highest scoring game or the biggest blowout game ever, 222-0, happened on Grant Field.
Right.
And that's kind of neat to be sitting, you know, in the stands and kind of visualize what that may have looked like when it happened nearly 100 years ago.
Right.
So there's a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, really, really cool stuff. So during the celebration that's going to be on Thursday, I think that there's going to be lots of things going on. I know that they're going to have some sort of video that's going to recognize the stadium, and there's going to be fireworks, and I think there's going to be 36 former All-Americans that are going to be there.
Right, and I believe that the Ramblin' Wreck is actually, instead of just driving out onto the field, is actually going to drive through a cake out onto the field. So that should be interesting to see how that goes.
Are you being serious?
Maybe.
I hope so. That would be awesome. So I'm really hoping, though, that because they showed the list of people who were going to be there for the All-Americans, but I really hope that there's some people who decide to show up. Like, I don't know what the Lions' schedule is for this weekend, but
right.
See, it'd
be
really
nice
awesome
if Calvin came.
If Calvin made a surprise appearance, or hope that someone like Josh Nesbitt is on the field. I think that he would get a good
rousing applause.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty neat. Yeah. So there are some games that are going to be played this week,
right.
And I want to go through a couple of them before we get into our roundup.
Okay.
Virginia Tech is playing Georgia Tech in their uniforms on the 100-year-old field.
The Battle of the Techs, as they call it.
The Battle of the Techs. Even though Virginia Tech isn't really a tech, they kind of changed their name. They're supposed to be what? Virginia Polytechnic Institute or something like that?
And State University.
And State University, excuse me. But first question I want to ask is VPI, which is what I'm going to call them for the rest of this podcast, are they as bad as they look? Because they've looked pretty bad in some of their games this year.
Interesting. Logan Thomas had 23 rushes against Marshall.
Okay.
He carried it 23 times. So you've put a lot on one player. And I think that if you can key in to just stopping Logan Thomas, you can stop Virginia Tech's offense. So I would answer that by saying I don't think they necessarily are as bad as they look, but when you're as one-dimensional as I think they are, you might be made to look pretty bad this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really torn on this game because Virginia Tech has always given us fits.
Right.
You know, every year in the Paul Johnson era, it's been a pretty crazy game. It really could have come down to one or two calls could have could have changed the whole thing.
Right.
In 2008, there was a couple of – Georgia Tech had the lead going into the end of the fourth quarter, and a couple of questionable. Personal foul calls extended the drive for Virginia Tech, which allowed them to eventually win the game. In 2009, the game that Georgia Tech won, there was a humongous block by Melton that – I believe that's who it was.
I think you're right.
That opened up a Nesbitt run that scored the go-ahead touchdown. If that hadn't happened, who knows how that game turns out. In 2010, Georgia Tech is winning, and Nesbitt breaks his arm. In 2011 – excuse me, we stopped the Hokies on fourth or on a third down in late in the game, and Jeremiah Tachu kind of loses his cool a little bit and punches Logan Thomas, giving them the first down in the play, extending the drive, and they scored the go-ahead touchdown that eventually ends up being the game winner. And last year, our defense imploded with 40 seconds left in the game, and we lost it in overtime. So this has become a very, very competitive game every single year. So even though Virginia Tech doesn't, excuse me, VPI doesn't look as bad, or they don't look as good as they really should, I don't want to just say this is a lock and we're going to win this game and that we're going to blow it open.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where on paper you look at it and say you should win this game. It shouldn't be close.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to just say, well, we're going to win the game and just be – I'm trying to be anti-Homer as much as I can and be as objective and say that this is going to be close, but I just don't see how it can be.
Yeah. I think if everything stays the same, if it's, you know, if it's the same two teams on the field, then I don't think – that Virginia Tech is any better than UNC is.
No, well, I think that UNC's offense is potentially better than...
Yeah, now, yeah, that said, I think Virginia Tech's defense is pretty good.
Yeah, and that was worrying me. I mean, I was concerned about that, but, you know, I think that you have enough on offense to be able to exploit their weaknesses, and... We consistently move the ball on them. I mean, last year we had some trouble, but, I mean, we had trouble a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that you have a good shot at being able to move the ball. And I think that your defense has played well against potentially better offenses. And, I mean, I see nothing in Virginia Tech's offensive game plan that says that, hey, they're going to have some huge plays. The thing that's killed us in the past are these really big plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Thomas is even quoted as saying, you know, we are not a team that has big play potential.
Yeah.
We're a grind-out team. Well, if you're a grind-out team, I welcome that style of play because I think that we'll be able to beat you. So,
yeah.
You know, and then you got to look at special teams. Our special teams have been pretty good, and Virginia Tech special teams have not. Now, I mean, that all could change in one game.
And it very it may, because I don't know if you know this, but they've been using a backup kicker because their starter was suspended.
Well, he was only suspended for the last game. So 2 games ago he did play, and he missed a field goal there too. So,
yeah.
You know, that's – I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think that – you know, I think that we can win this game. I don't think this is the hardest game on our schedule.
No. Not by a long shot. I think that there's probably 4 more games at least that are going to be tougher than this one. But if Georgia Tech wins this game, you're in the driver's seat, and the conventional thinking changed last year, but usually the winner of this game represents the Coastal Division in the ACC Championship game.
Right.
And it's been that way since 2005.
Yeah. It's interesting because every single year people say this is the year it breaks. Nobody ever picks it as it's going to be the winner of that game. Everybody says this is the year Miami comes back.
Yeah.
This is the year North Carolina breaks through they've got all this talent. This is the year they break through. They're going to win. And same thing this year. So, my opinion is, you know, maybe Miami is good and maybe they can win it all, but I'm going to be honest and say that they haven't done it yet. Why can't we say that this is probably going to, this has a really strong chance of deciding who's going to, you know, represent the conference?
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to this game. It's a whiteout, so if you're listening to this and you don't know that it's a whiteout, please wear your white. I already got my white shirt sitting on the hanger, ready to go.
Ironed?
I don't iron. I don't even own an iron. Who do you think I am?
I own an iron.
So. Oh. I just throw it in the dryer. Just throw it in the dryer. Works
so
for
you're
me.
Not really an energy-conscious engineer?
No.
Okay.
No. I leave all my lights on, and my AC is set at, like, 65 year-round. So.
All right. I'm glad you have so much disposable income there.
Oh, yeah. I'm a millionaire over here. So, anyway, that said, another game, another big game that's going on in the state is LSU at UGA, and this game has College Game Day coming for a Georgia game for the second time this season. And one interesting fact is that Georgia playing in College Game Day games is 0-5. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're too excited about having Game Day come back, but I think that they haven't had it at their stadium that often. So I think most of those College Game Days have been when they've either played at a neutral site or on the road. So,
have they had it since Alabama?
Oh, they had it at Clemson.
Well, that wasn't in Athens. Have they had it in Athens?
I think that one in Alabama was the most recent one.
Yeah, that one. I saw that one.
And maybe
I
the only
that
one.
Yeah, I remember that one. So are they blacking out for this one?
Oh, that's a good question. I seriously doubt it.
It was so successful last time.
Yeah. Yeah. They had, like, I think back in the 2007 ballpark, they had, like, something like four or five of, like, seven games ended up being a blackout of some kind, where they either, you know, had a, it was an advertised blackout, or the team wore black jerseys or black helmets or something. So, but I don't think they're going to do it this time around.
No, I don't think so either. Here's my thing with this game, and I think the X factor, I guess we can use that term again since nobody's watching the TV show anymore. The X factor in this, in my opinion, is almost the Z factor. It's Zach Mettenberger. I think that that's going to be an interesting storyline, because you probably remember Mettenberger was kicked off of the UGA team in some interesting circumstances, and I would probably be the first to come to Mettenberger's defense and say that, you know, I think he was unfairly treated in the situation.
I believe he was. I think the evidence eventually came out that he was wrongfully accused.
Right. And based on the things that I've heard from, you know, people involved in the situation, he was kind of, wrongfully dealt with. But that being said, all that's water under the bridge. He's now the quarterback at LSU. Now, what I was told at the time as well, it doesn't matter, Mettenberger couldn't beat out Murray anyway.
Yeah.
Well, okay, sure, you say that, but it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the game changes a little bit when you actually have to play him. And if I'm Zach Mettenberger, if there's one game on the schedule when I sit down and I see the schedule released in, you know, March or whenever it is, there's one game I circle, it's going to be that game in Athens. I mean, the kid's from, you know, they're around the Athens area. His mom works as an administrative assistant at the University of Georgia. You know, this is a homecoming. I mean, he grew up wanting to go play at Georgia, and now he's getting a chance to beat them. Do you think he really wants to win this game?
I think that he's had this circled on his calendar for a very long time. And if there's anybody on the field that is going to be more determined than Mettenberger to win this game, it's going to be tough to find him. So it'll be a very interesting game. I feel like it's going to be a very close one. And I got to hand it to UGA. They really have had one of the most difficult first four games I've ever seen in a college football schedule. Three of the first four games are teams against the top 10. And That is a very, very tough test to start out of a season. Can you remember any other team starting out with a schedule this tough before, Andrew?
I mean, I would say if it was anybody, I would say somebody like Notre Dame or USC. Because USC always plays, or traditionally has always played, a really tough out-of-conference schedule.
Yeah.
They love those big matchups. So, I mean, I would think USC's probably done it. Notre Dame, you know, starting the season off playing Michigan, Michigan State, I think has had some tough ones in previous years. Now, has anybody ever come out of that 3-1? I don't know. That's the tough one. It's a tough schedule, and I don't think you expect it. I mean, everybody wants to win them all, but I don't think you legitimately expected you could win all four of these games.
Yeah, I agree. And if they win it, I feel like they have a very good chance of potentially running the table in terms of the SEC games that they play for the rest of the season. Because who's going to beat them? Who's going to beat them the rest of the way?
Well, it isn't going to be Tennessee. It isn't going to be Vanderbilt.
No.
It isn't going to be Kentucky.
No.
And I don't really think Florida is very good.
No. And they play Missouri as well, and I don't think Missouri beats them either.
Well, the team of the future right there.
Yeah. So this really could be the game for them. If they win this game, that'll be huge for them. Basically can submit their ticket to the SEC championship game. So we'll see. I will be actually attending this game, Andrew, so I will be able to give you a first-hand report.
Are you going to wear black for the blackout?
No, I'm going to be wearing the most neutral colors possible. So if you
Pink.
Know a very neutral color that I can wear to this game, please email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. Because I need fashion advice.
Right. So. If you email and suggest colors like pink and, you know, Tar Heel blue, that would be appreciated, I think.
Man, I really should not have said that.
Because you got to go with what the listeners say. You have to. You've put it out there.
Oh, man. Crap. Well, we'll see what the listeners decide. Maybe they'll be kind to me. Maybe they'll be kind.
I think if you are willing to send a Justin Bieber shirt Will's way, he's going to have to wear it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, that would be something else.
All of your Spice Girls shirts, send those as well. That would be good.
Yeah, mine are all in the dirty laundry, and I'm not planning on washing them anytime soon. So
you had some?
Oh yeah, everybody does. Anyway, let's get off that note. Let's go through our roundup of games to finish off the podcast. Starting with the ACC, Andrew, VPI at Georgia Tech. What do you think?
I'm gonna pick Tech.
Georgia Tech.
I think that Georgia Tech wins this game. If Virginia Tech wins, that's a pretty big upset based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah,
I don't think offensively. Look. Virginia Tech can stop our offense, hypothetically, but I don't think they can score anything, so I don't think it matters. You know what I'm saying? I think that they could shut us down for a whole half, and it would still be 0-0 at halftime. I just don't see how they can score. They just haven't looked very good on offense. As long as you keep, you got to limit turnovers, and you just got to play smart special teams. Don't let them, return a kick for a touchdown or something, and I think you win this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I'm not sure what the spread is, but I feel like Georgia Tech can win this game pretty easily.
It's like 6.5, I think.
Yeah, I feel like Georgia Tech could possibly win this game by 2 touchdowns if nothing. Like, I mean, I don't want to say this, but I just feel like we're a much, much better team than they are this season. So.
I mean, I think that being a short week is going to factor, but I think that you still... I mean, because you got to remember, in 2009, we played... we had 3 games in 13 days, and we got demolished by Miami.
Well, but this is a little bit different.
It is. It is a little bit different, and I think that you learn from that experience. I think that you might struggle on offense, but I still think you can win the game. I mean, I'm looking at maybe like a 21-14 score would be my thought.
Okay. Well, I'm picking Georgia Tech as well, so we'll just have to see how it goes. Next game, Miami at South Florida.
South Florida's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Miami wins big. Big, big, big.
Yeah, not if Georgia Tech and Miami win, man, that is going to set up for a very interesting game in Miami.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun to watch. East Carolina at UNC.
Now, I'm glad we got to this. Will, I want to talk a little bit about North Carolina. I thought we were done talking about North Carolina, but have you seen some of the stuff people were talking about Larry Fedora's antics while at Bobby Dodd Field?
Yeah, you know, Fedora is really not making many friends. Not with us, anyway. So he makes the snide remarks about Middle Tennessee, and, you know, he just doesn't seem like the nicest of guys. But apparently during the game last week in Atlanta, there were some fans that were heckling
and they
Fedora.
Were heckling, you know, they were heckling Otis to start out, because if you remember, Otis body slammed, I believe it was the long snapper.
Yeah, yeah.
In a special teams play, and started just like hammering him into the ground. Well, that's a
look,
flag.
He was listening to our podcast, and he knows how important a long snapper is for our team.
He does. He does. So he was trying to knock him out, because not many people carry a second long snapper. But he gets a penalty flag, and so some fans started heckling Otis because, I mean, it's the thing to do, I guess.
Yeah,
and
why not?
Fedora didn't take too kindly to it, and so he walked over to the fans, apparently while plays were going on.
Yeah, yeah, and important started, plays.
Yeah, cursing out the fans, and did it two different times.
Man.
While plays were going on. And finally, Algie Crumpler, a UNC alum and former Atlanta Falcon, you know, came over and, you know, kind of said, guys, you know, maybe you should, like, cool it. And, you know, basically the fans said, well, they started it by, you know, body slamming our player. And he basically said, well, good point. And he actually went on the radio and talked about how the fans really got into the North Carolina players and coaches' heads.
Wow.
Which is shocking. You can't let that affect you as a team.
No way.
You know? And I've never heard of, except for, you know, in baseball, Jack Leggett at Clemson, I've never really heard of a coach coming over to fans and, like, chewing them out like that. But
yeah. I mean, it's a football game. And the fans that sit on those areas of the field, they get those tickets for a reason, because they want to heckle the other team. And
right.
This has got to happen at every single stadium.
Right.
So,
I mean, you're at North Carolina, I think they expect, you know, to be treated differently because they're North Carolina everywhere they go. But
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Everybody at rival stadiums doesn't like you.
Yeah,
so you can't.
Very interesting.
That.
But either way, I think that UNC is going to be a little bit too much for East Carolina to handle.
Yep, I agree.
So I think that UNC wins. I think their offense is good enough to score a lot of points against East Carolina. Another game, Middle Tennessee at Pitt. What do you think?
Pitt, big.
Yeah, Pitt has a good offense. They
yeah.
scored a lot of points against Duke. And I don't think that Middle Tennessee's defense is even up to Duke's caliber. So I think that might be a high-scoring game. So, be interesting.
Right.
I picked Pitt as well. Troy at Duke.
I think Duke's going to win the game. Yeah, I think Duke really is better than what we saw early. I think they're a pretty good team.
I think so, too. I think they're going to score a lot of points against Troy. Central Michigan at NC State.
Man, NC State looked good against Clemson. I think they could win a few games. I think they'll at least go to a bowl this year. So I would say NC State.
Yep, I agree with you. FSU at Boston College.
You know, we haven't really talked about this game yet. I think that FSU is going to win this one big. I think Boston College is just crummy. Just
yeah.
absolutely crummy. Even though, I mean, it is tough going up to Boston College because it's just not a good atmosphere, and it can be kind of a letdown because it's just kind of dead.
Yeah.
That being said, I think FSU can put up 42 points easily. So
okay.
I think it's going to be one of those, you know, 42-17 kind of games.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
Big game from the running backs over there, I think.
Okay. Last game in the ACC, Wake Forest at Clemson.
You know how I would love to pick Wake Forest, but I think Clemson is too much. I think it's going to be a big game for Clemson.
Yeah, I don't think Wake Forest has a chance in this game. Okay, going on to the SEC, South Carolina at Central Florida.
this is tough. South Carolina's good, but UCF loves this kind of upset type game. Yeah. I think it's going to be close. I think USC wins 21-17.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's going to be close, too. I wish I could watch this game because I feel like it'd be a really entertaining one to watch. But I'm also going to pick South Carolina. So, South Alabama at Tennessee.
Tennessee's bad, but they're not that bad. Tennessee's going to win.
Yeah, they're not that bad. LSU, Georgia. Oh, this is, man, this one's tough.
I don't know. What do you think, Will?
I think that the Mettenberg factor is real, and I think it's going to make it a very, very, very close game. But I think that UGA is probably going to break the game day curse, and I think the home field advantage carries them. And I'm going to say that they win the game by less than a field goal.
Fans are going to be excited. Aaron Murray, you know, he's the real deal. They got the running backs.
Oh, yeah.
Offensively, Georgia is good. Now, and the thing is, LSU, you know, they got the new offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron. Nobody's really seen if that's actually going to work, you know, in a big game like this. That's going to be a problem. And, you know,
I think that's another thing, too. This is LSU's first real test of the season.
Right. Right.
Georgia, like, this is old hat. This is the third top 10 team in a row. They're ready for this game.
They're ready. Georgia's ready. They got the fans behind them. You know, Mettenberger, I think he's going to have a big game, and I like the Dogs, however. But I am like you, Will. I like him to lose, and I like him to lose big. I think it's going to be a 10-point LSU game.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, well, create some disparity in the picks because we've been lining up this whole time. So, okay. So, Andrew's going to pick LSU. I'm going to pick UGA. We'll see. I'll be wearing my neutral colors that the listeners will decide upon. And I don't like LSU either. So, this is going to be a tough game for me to be at. This is, oh, man. I'm going to need emotional support coming up to this game.
You're going to be a peacemaker, Will, because there are going to be some fights.
Yeah. I could play that role. I'll play that role. So,
but there'll be good Cajun food there. Try and make friends with some LSU people and get some Cajun food.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Because I like Cajun food.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hurry up and finish the next ones. Ole Miss at Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll. I don't think Alabama can lose this game. I really don't. Ole Miss has got some good players, but
they're pretty young though.
Yeah, they're young, and you know this is the real deal right here.
Yeah. Florida at Kentucky.
You know, I believe Kentucky is terrible. And as many, you know, turnovers as they create against Florida, I still think they're going to lose and lose big.
So you're picking Florida?
I'm picking Florida. I think it's going to be like 21-6.
Yeah. Well, it'd be really interesting to see what a full game with their new quarterback does. I had a chance to talk to a Florida fan yesterday, and I asked him about, you know, how upset he is that Driscoll is no longer with them, and he
not too upset, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he did his very best to sound concerned for the young man, but not that concerned.
Gotcha.
So, I don't think it's going to hurt them very much. Okay, I'm picking Florida as well. Next game, Texas A&M at Arkansas.
Giga'em Aggies. Aggies big. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a blowout.
Arkansas is not good.
Yeah. So. A&M is going to score at will. I mean, they might put up 50 points against Arkansas, and they don't have anything to stop them.
Yeah. Okay,
Welcome to the SEC, Brett Bellino. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Next game, Arkansas State at Missouri.
I think this is a bad day for Arkansas because I think Missouri is going to put up some points against Arkansas State. I don't think they have a chance.
Yep, I'm picking Missouri as well. And finally, UAB at Vandy.
Well, you know, I think James Franklin is going to do cartwheels out of the tunnel and, you know, shoot off some fireworks himself and stuff, and I think that Vanderbilt will find a way to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay. Well, that does it for the picks. We only have one different pick out of all of these, so not too much difference will happen in the standings. And just to remind our listeners, I have a slim 2-game lead over Andrew after 4 weeks. So you can pick up a game here, though, Andrew.
Yeah, I think I will pick up a game here.
Okay. All right. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for listening. Again, this is the Fourth and Short podcast. My name is Will Patton.
And I'm Andrew Brown, and follow me on Twitter at DowntownAndrewB.
Yes, and please send us emails, questions, comments, complaints, concerns, whatever, t-shirt ideas, to fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com. So, all right, everybody. Appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.